Let me just set the stage of what we do in the group for those who are new, so you know the flow. Sometimes it's easier to jump in when you kind of know where we're heading. So generally what we do, we have a time of getting together, so see how everyone's week has been, and then we get started. Sometimes we'll do worship, sometimes we'll do communion. We're just going to get started with the teaching today. And then we'll go, after just a little bit of teaching, we're going to do our share. And so what we're doing with the share is having a place of opening up and presenting the stuff that's going on in your life so that you can be known, you can be seen, but then at that point, someone can reach in and offer God's life to you. So what we do is we have the share, and then afterwards, after the share, we have a time of praying over each other. And that prayer is not, okay, I heard you share something that you're struggling with this, whatever. And it's not a correction prayer. What it is saying, God, what is it that this person needs right now? And so we actually pursue God's view of the person, and that's what we pray over them. And that's what we've found is that's extremely healing for people. Because as guys in general, but I think it's really as people, we're nervous about being known for a lot of different reasons. One is we're not sure how we're going to be received by other people. We feel like maybe we're messed up, and if someone saw this or knew this, they're going to reject us or whatever it may be. And so if we have that time, but the thing is that things that we're fearful of is what's holding us back from even pursuing all of God. I remember when I first started believing that God speaks, and Will was talking about this, like, surprise that God would actually speak to us. We were talking about this earlier. But I remember, like, when I first felt like that God still speaks, it's like all he will want to share with anyone about me is the stuff that I'm doing wrong. He's still struggling with pornography. He's still, you know, he's an imposter. He's trying to be this more than he really is. Those are things I feel like God would want to share about me to other people, because that was my view of God, to tell you the truth. And so I was always afraid of what may come out, but even so, it also hindered me from pursuing God. And so as we share some of these things, and not that we have to go to that deep level right now, but maybe you want to, just like, I just want to get this out. What it does is it allows other people to look at you and I still see good in you. I still see God's plan for your life. This is what I see in you. You're a great encourager, I see people just flocking to you because you are a good friend. Those type of words that we hear God saying over them, or just encouragement because we know them a little bit. Those type of things bring life into us, because when we've just exposed something that we thought was going to bring us rejection and brings us not rejection, but actually draws us closer to other people, we start finding freedom, and we start realizing we're not screwed up. But God can still use us. God can still lead us into life. A few new people here. I've been leading men's group. My first men's group I went to was 1990, which may be before some of you were born. And I've been leading men's groups since 1992, doing off and on different things. And God allowed me to see some benefit of that, because there's things like just in general men's group is going to be good, where you got someone who's modeling pursuing God, and then you have a group of guys around you who are also pursuing God. You just naturally go into that flow, and then you have someone who wants to see success in you, is calling out, you know, you to do better. You're going to see growth in that, and so I've always enjoyed it, but there was something around 2010 when I started going to a men's group, it just changed everything for me. And this is this process of not just modeling the pursuing God, but intentionally revealing those things in me that I was fearful of. Because I even though I was pursuing God and I was trying to, I always had this thing like, man, if they just knew this, they will see me differently. If anyone really got to know me, they'll reject me. If they knew that I felt like a failure, they might agree with me and say that, yes, you are a failure. And then it would devastate me. And so I was growing, God was being gracious to me, and so I was seeing growth. But when I actually started pursuing this revealing of those deep areas of my life, there was something healing in it, because in the midst of that, we were also doing this idea of praying for each other at the end. So when you finally expose that thing that you thought was going to bring you rejection, and you find acceptance, all of a sudden that pain of rejection gets lifted off of it, and you can start seeing yourself as God sees you. You know, all of us know, right? We know the Bible well, and I don't actually know all of us, but I imagine everyone here knows some basic things about Christianity. We have been forgiven of all of our sins. He has cleansed us of all unrighteousness. Now, we know that intellectually, but walking that out is a lot different. Because we also know those things that we keep on coming back into our lives. And it might not be an outrageous addiction type of sin. It might just be the thoughts of anger that come over us when, you know, someone hurts us. That you just actually want to see them destroyed, not just, you know, bless them. You know, and you know that's tearing you up, because you actually want to see their destruction. And you're like, God, I don't want that in my life, but I feel that. And so having a place where you can like expose some of these dark areas and realize that just because you were tempted doesn't mean you sinned. Just because you had the thought doesn't mean that you're bad. Because the thing is, the enemy is feeding you thoughts. He knows the things that spark you to turn, like to get angry, to spark you to get go to lust, or, you know, veg out on, you know, masturbate and do other whatever it may be. He knows that things going to that lead you down those paths. For the most part, we don't actually know them. We just like all of a sudden we know we screwed up and we say, "Crap, what just happened? Why did I do that?" And then, but he knows what drew you there. He knows, you know, getting you stressed out at work, getting you, you know, someone talking bad about you behind your back, and you find out about it, and just like that feeling of like, oh, that's exactly what I felt about myself. Nobody cares for me. Nobody's going to protect me. Nobody's going to like me. And so having a group of men that are going to be able to hear that stuff and then come out the other side and go, no, this is what God says about you. And the reason why that second part is so important, it's not only for the person to hear it, which it's a huge weight for to hear what God says about it. Because the thing is, when you expose yourself, you feel like, oh my gosh, they're going to kick me out of the church. They're going to kick me out of this group. Nobody's going to want to even talk to me after this. And to find someone's like, I understand. I go through the same thing. This is like how God let me out. This is what God says about you. This is what I see about you. I really like you. You're fun to be with. There's these words of encouragement that come out. All of a sudden, you start seeing yourself differently. I remember, and I think I shared this last semester, but I'll share it again for the new people just to hear it. I lived in China for several years, 3 or 4 years, whatever. But anyway, I led a men's group there, and in the men's group I led, it was missionaries that had been in the country for 15, 20 years. I mean, like seasoned veterans in the faith. And I was leading this group because I felt like God, you know, wanted me to lead it. And so a lot of the guys were coming and doing this type of share. We'll share what's going on, and we're going to pray over each other. And I had guys in the group that they loved the sharing part because it was like, oh, we get to hear from God. I'm learning to grow in this area. I can bless someone. I love this. I don't want to share the personal stuff. That seems, you know, touchy-feely for me. I don't care. And so, like, a couple of them verbalized it. Most of them didn't. Most of them polite. But I would leave the group, and I was like, I'm just like, what am I doing, God? I'm just like, those feelings of failure would come back over me. It's like, I'm here trying to do this, but these guys, you know, at that time, I was new. It's like, they've been here for so long. They're strong Christians. you know, maybe they're right. You know, what this is really what you want. And so these doubts come in. And so I knew enough. It's like, I need to call someone. I need to get, if I sit here and dwell on this myself, I'm going to spiral down. And it leads to depression. It's going to lead to this feeling of hopelessness that is not going to be helpful. And it probably would, you know, in the same instance, it would lead to, for me, going back to pornography, because that was like a release mechanism for me. And so I was like, I called up my friend who was back in the States, and I was like, hey, I'm leaving men's group right now. You know, I'm like the only one sharing, and like everyone else is like kind of doing this other thing. And it's just like, they're not getting it. And he's like, and he used that. It's like, Kevin, I've been in groups with you. This is what I see in you. This is how I've been affected by your group and what you're doing. And it's like, just stay with it. I believe in you. They're going to be transformed because of this. And those are the type of things, like when he spoke life in me, it's like, okay, I now had something to hold on to. Was I going to choose to believe the word that he was saying from God, which I believed it was, or I'm going to continue to believe these doubts and the enemy was feeding me? But having someone outside giving me the words of life, it gave me something to hold on to. And that's what the men in this group are going to be able to do for you. As you pursue God, there's things that are going to hold, that have been holding you back. And it could just be, you know what, I would pursue it, but that sounds prideful. Whatever it may be. It's like, dude, God wants to release you into a fullness of life. If people heard the dreams God has for you, it's going to sound prideful because only He can do it. But if you refuse to admit what those dreams are because of afraid of pride, you're never going to pursue them. And so it's, you know, with this group, we're not sitting here like, this is not, let's tell us everyone our sins. Now, if that sin is holding you back and it's really messing with your head, yes, get it out. Don't let the enemy play in your mind. Get it out and allow other people to come alongside you and see the support that you can get. And one thing that I've been super encouraged about, and I really think it was Ian, because Ian had this group before I got involved last semester. Immediately, whenever anyone shared last semester, people were coming alongside them saying, I want to help you. It's like, let me speak life into you. Let me pray over you. It was this genuine camaraderie in the group. And for those that were here last time, they can, you know, feel free to agree or not. I mean, from what I saw, that's what it was. And it was like, it was encouraging because it was like, it allowed for some people to really get some things off their chest that they had not shared before. And that's where freedom really comes. And that's what God wants from us. You know, if you remember, like, this is obscure, but in the Old Testament, it talks about there was two goats and this is where we get the phrase, the scapegoat. So they killed one goat, sacrificed it for the sins of the camp. And what they did with the other goat is they basically placed the shame in the whole camp of those sins on that goat and sent it out of the camp and allowed it to leave. And it was like a symbolic gesture of like that all of the guilt and all of the shame that you have over the sins you've done is left when we did this. And Jesus, when he was sacrificed, part of that was he was sacrificed outside of Jerusalem. It was outside because he wasn't just sacrificing for the atonement of our sins, which that is huge, right? It is also the removal of the shame. Mm-hmm. And so some of us, we have grasp the forgiveness he's given us, but we haven't grasped the removal of shame of the things that we've done in the past. And not to say we're ever going to be like, I did this. I struggled with pornography. Isn't that great? But shame will keep us from even sharing that and getting it out there. And so it gives you to... So what happens when you hold that back is there are people who are still struggling with it, and they feel like they're alone. That nobody else is going through this like I am. And I remember just thinking that. It's like, you know, I'll be in church. I'll be with this group. I feel like I am like the worst of everyone here. Because I'm trying to follow God. I'm leading other people. But then I have this baggage that I'm carrying along that I don't want anyone to know. And it's like, it's the sin in the camp. It's the, like, Achan that caused the Israelites to lose in the battle of Ai because I have something. And it's like, and it just became this thing that the enemy just kept on pouring out guilt and shame over me. And it's like, every once in a while, I get the light and it's like, okay, I'm doing good. And then it was that battle. And it's having the guys alongside you to say, that gets you the consistency to see, one, I'm willing to go after this so I can find the healing he offers me. Because here's the thing, we get so afraid of our sin, so ashamed of our sin, that basically we ask forgiveness and move on. And there's a benefit to that, blessing that, but the thing is, we don't know what got us there. We don't know what drew us to that sin because we're afraid to even think back on what happened. And the thing is, there were triggers that went off that caused that sin to happen. There's the verse in 1 John. If anyone's been struggling with pornography, this is one that I know that it's a trigger one. Because it's like, if anyone continues to be in sin, the love of God is not in them. So you have that and you're like, oh my gosh. You know, I've got this thing I'm dealing with, but how, and I have this verse that says, if anyone, you know, anyone continues in sin, I'm continuing in sin. How could, I don't even have the love of God in me. But if you read that whole passage, it talks about, you know, the love you got from the Father, the love you got from Jesus, the love you got from the Holy Spirit. It's like, it is love verse, a love chapter. And that passage, when you look at it in the midst of that, what it means is like, there is a part of the love of God you're missing out on. Mm. And if you knew this, you would not go to that sin. And when we are afraid of even thinking about what happened with our sin, and like, I'm not going to deal with that, I messed up, I'll just move on, we miss out on what part of the love of God we missed out on that drew us to the sin. And so having a group of guys like that process this with, that are not going to like beat us up every time we've failed. It's like, I remember going to accountability groups, and it's like, every accountability group is the same. Did you sin this week? Yes. Stop it. Next. Did you sin this week? Yes. Stop it. There was a benefit. There was a blessing of confessing your sin to one another. But there was no hope. There was no life in it. The life is, you know, what was going on? You know, what was your week like? You know, what led up to this? What, you know, and it's like, and you start thinking, it's like, I was stressed. Well, like, what is it that you felt? It's like, what is it that was stressing you? It's like, well, I was stressed because it was more than I had more work to do. It was more like I felt like I was going to fail when I was doing this. I just, you know, so why is that? Why do you feel like you fail? Well, I feel like I always fail. And why do you feel like that? It's like, you start going deeper into the midst of this because you start picking out the lie. The enemy's feeding you lies. And that lie is keeping you from the truth, which God loves you. You know, I remember I was talking to a guy. I was in one of these men's groups, and he was bullied as a kid. We were talking through it, and he's like, you know, he just felt like alone, like he had to, you know, nobody was going to help him. So we started praying. It's like, God, you know, Jesus, we show up. And he did. It's a different story, longer story. But basically, we asked, like, Jesus, would you ever leave me? And he was a believer. He had been a missionary for, you know, 20 years. I don't know. He was well on in missionary years. But he knew the Bible is what I'm trying to get at. So immediately, he's like, he asked Jesus, would he leave me? He's like, well, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We all know, you know, for Hebrews verse, and like, you know, we know this. And so I was like, great, that's wonderful. But it didn't penetrate the heart. So I said, you know, why don't we re-ask that question? I want you to pray again and ask him. It's like, I know the Bible. Let's just ask what he has to say. Ask him if he'll ever leave you. And then immediately the Jesus told him, it's like, I love you. Why would I ever leave you? And he just started weeping because that is what ministered to his heart. When we talk about the Word of God as living and active, it's because it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God in the midst of the Hebrews verse. It's the fact that when you hear God's voice, if you read all of the Hebrews leading up to it, like the Israelites heard God's voice and were disobedient. They hardened their heart. They heard God's voice, they hardened their heart. And then it gets to Hebrews 4, and it says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God definitely is a part of that is the Bible. I'm not discounting, but it is also his spoken word to you. It is that word that penetrates that lie that you've been believing so that you can believe the truth. And so we have an opportunity in this group to expose the lies, because once we expose the lies, we can hear the truth of what God says about us. One thing I was thinking just because for those who were at church yesterday and heard Hannah speak, and it's like this idea of loyalty in the church. I don't know all the stuff that led up to her sharing that, so I don't know her full story, but I will say that this is something we are trying to generate in this group of men, that when we hear the struggles you're going through, we're going to jump beside you and say, okay, let's fight that. Let's see your growth. Let's see you get better. And so part of the encouragement of this group is to get numbers of other guys in the group, meet outside the group, so that it becomes, what it does is it builds trust when you get here, because you've gone out to coffee, you've got to know each other a little better, and it starts building those levels of intimacy. There's things that you heard shared in the group. You can go deeper in those conversations at the coffee shop or the, you know, going out to work out together or something like that. You can go deeper and develop those relationships. And then if it ever gets to the point where like, dude, like, I'm struggling, you've got someone to lean on. Because the enemy is going to try to do all he can to separate you from people. He knows if he isolates you, he has you. I just want to let that sink in a little bit, because you have a relationship with God, but he put us in a body. He put us in a body because we're meant to run this together with someone else. Because anytime you're trying to figure everything else in your head, the lies sound true. And a lot of times, as soon as you verbalize it, it all makes sense to you. Like, oh, that's not true, you know. But if it's in your head, it all makes sense and it all plays out. So that's what we're trying to do in this group. I wanted to, as we're starting again, you know, starting again this for this semester, I wanted to make sure that we remind each other of what we're heading towards, why we're doing this, why are we sharing, why is that important, and why are we continuing to pray over each other, why is that? It's that consistency of seeing. It's like, because you'll get this one great night and you're like, that's so wonderful, I'm great, this, and you come back the next time, it's like, don't want to do that again. I mean, you do, but you don't. It's like that. It's that revealing of yourself. I think for some of the guys who've been here for a while now, it's like it's gotten to the point where like, oh, I'm ready to go. But some of the new guys, this might be I'm not used to this. And I understand. But I promise you, as you buy into this, this is where you're going to see significant growth. I had a guy in my group, came into the group, his son had died in a car, airplane wreck. Week before that, or week after that, his wife died in cancer. Mm. And so he was going through both of those. Like I met him maybe 2 months after that. And he was just spiraling. And then coming into the group and just realizing, is having a place to be real and just express his frustration with God, frustration with the church, in a place where we weren't coming alongside going, yeah, we know church is terrible. It was, we were coming alongside, it's like just listening to him and allowing him to be him, but then continue to push him towards God. I mean, he's up in Alaska. He's transforming, he's doing a men's group. He's transforming marriages up there. And it's incredible. I've had guys in the group that leading a church in Southern California now, a guy that came into the group who's like, couldn't even see himself looking or talking to a girl. And it's like, and being able to admit that in front of guys and just being received and talking through that, married with kids, a kid now, I think he has 2 kids now, but it's like, there's things that the enemy wants to hold you back from your future. And if you get around other guys, you're pursuing God together, those things are going to fall off. We need that as a church and as a body, people coming alongside that we're going to run this with you. And we're going to do this. So that's the purpose of this group. I don't think I finished this thought with about praying for each other. Yeah, but when you pray for that person and you're praying, this is what how God sees them, it's going to transform them because, like, it's important. But what it does also for those who hear it, that I know what you said earlier, but I'm going to choose to believe what God says about you. And I'm going to hold on to that and continue to call that out in you. And so there's a benefit for all of us. Because the thing is, God calls us to love one another, right? He calls us to encourage one another. He calls us to do this stuff. And if we look with our own eyes, it's very difficult at times. But he wants to help us do that. And so what I found is God loves telling secrets about his people. It's not the secrets I was afraid of, like that person struggling with this. The secrets are, if you knew this about David, you will love him like I do. And God has an infinite love for David. So if I can grasp that, I can see whatever else is going on in his life and go, man, I love this man. And it goes deep into my heart because I'm starting to see him with God's eyes. And so as we hear each other praying that same thing, it's like, dude, this guy's amazing. You know, Simeon is awesome. You should, I just want to spend time. I do, he's amazing. But I'm saying that sometimes we don't get that with each other by physical. It's like the Lord is doing it, speaking it over us. And then we start choosing to believe that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah.